This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The Fund for Free Expression, a committee of Human Rights Watch, gave cash awards last week to 23 writers who are victims of political persecution. The money is from the estates of Lillian Hellman and Dashiell Hammett, who each resisted the communist hunts of the McCarthy era. My guest, Minnie Bruce Pratt, is one of the writers recognized for her courage by the Fund for Free Expression. Right-wing groups have tried to suppress her work because she writes about being a lesbian. For the past 10 years, she's been writing poems about the most traumatic experience of her life, losing custody of her two sons to her husband after she'd fallen in love with another woman. Her collection, Crime Against Nature, was chosen as the 1989 Lamont Poetry Selection by the Academy of American Poets. The judges wrote, in spare and forceful language, Pratt tells a moving story of loss and recuperation, discovering linkages between her own disenfranchisement and the condition of other minorities. Pratt grew up in Selma, Alabama, and now teaches women's studies at George Washington University. She shared her Fund for Free Expression Award with two other lesbian writers, Audre Lorde and Christos.
The three of us were grouped together by the attacks by the right wing on homoerotic art, and we were given the award together. I may be wrong about this, but I think that this may be the first time that a mainstream international human rights group has recognized persecution based on lesbian and gay issues. Amnesty International, not Amnesty USA, but Amnesty International, does not recognize persecution based on lesbian and gay orientation. And I don't think any other mainstream group does either. So I feel like this is an extremely, extremely important award simply because of that.
Well, now you've just gotten this award in support of your writing. What has happened lately to try to suppress your writing?
Well, after Senator Helms asked the General Accounting Office to investigate us because he thought government money was being misused in our awards.
This is NEA grants.
This is the NEA grants, right. Those attacks were picked up by other people over the last year, including the American Family Association out of Tupelo, Mississippi, which...
That's Donald Wildman's.
That's right. Donald Wildman. They mount campaigns against media kinds of things that they consider to be pornographic. Their definition is extremely narrow. Anything which doesn't espouse heterosexual, nuclear family, Christian, so-called Christian fundamentalist values on the TV or radio or in writing, they consider to be pornographic. So they sort of singled us out, especially me. They singled me out and asked folks to write to their congresspeople and demand that my award be taken away and so forth. And people did write in, but the NEA hasn't moved to remove the awards.
I wonder how upset you get when one of these very conservative groups tries to suppress your writing or to block a grant. In many ways, the climate has become much more liberal on sexual issues. On the other hand, at the same time, there are certain groups that have become more aggressive in trying to suppress certain values.
Well, I get very upset, and it's a complicated kind of being upset. When Senator Helms began his attacks, I found myself getting terribly, terribly afraid. And I questioned that because nothing had actually happened to me. You know, he was attacking us verbally. He was trying to rouse up opinion against us, but in fact, nothing had happened. Yet I found myself being awfully afraid.
Like, and physically afraid?
Just deeply, deeply shaken. And I realized that partly I was shaken because the attacks were coming specifically about the poems I had written about my relationship with my children, who I had lost custody of as a lesbian while I was living in North Carolina, while Senator Helms was my senator. So that the attacks on the writing brought back all of the trauma of the custody battle. But in addition, it went deeper than that. I became terribly afraid, and I realized I was going back to the events of my childhood. I grew up in the Deep South in Alabama during my teenage years were during the civil rights battles. I heard the worst kinds of racism in my family and all around me, the worst kind of hatred and bigotry. And the attacks that Senator Helms was leading brought back the authoritarian atmosphere of those years for me very strongly. The effort in my community when I was growing up to block any dissent from the status quo, from the mainstream opinions, from the opinions of the town, the effort to block that not just with what black folks were doing, but to block any dissent by white people, by ostracism or ridicule or worse, you know, violence. So my reaction to these attacks is very deep and very strong, and I feel it's very, very important for people to see that it isn't just about an attack on the arts, that it's interconnected to many other different kinds of censoring activities that are going on. I'm extremely upset by the recent Supreme Court decision that bans folks who get federal funding in abortion and family planning clinics from giving information to their patients about abortion. I see that as completely connected to the kinds of things that are happening around the arts.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Minnie Bruce Pratt. She's a poet, and her most recent book, Crime Against Nature, was awarded the Lamont Poetry Award by the Academy of American Poets. And she was just awarded the Hemet Hellman Award from the Fund for Free Expression. She's one of several writers who was just honored with this award. Let's talk about your poems. Your latest book is called Crime Against Nature. Would you explain what the title refers to?
It's the name of the sodomy statute in the state of North Carolina, which, of course, makes same-sex love a felony in North Carolina, and actually, I believe, 25 other states in the District of Columbia. The statute itself, Crime Against Nature statute, is language from it is on the cover of the book, and then parts of it turn up in the title poem as well. It's really a pretty sobering thought as a poet to consider that one is also a potential felon, so that was definitely on my mind when I was writing the book.
Were you living in North Carolina when you went through your divorce and lost custody of your children?
That's right. I was living in North Carolina, but I wasn't living there when I wrote the book. I was living in the District of Columbia.
No, almost all the poems in Crime Against Nature are about how your sons were taken away from you when you came out. Your husband won custody in court because you were a lesbian?
Actually, we never went to court. He got custody of them, but the fight went on between our lawyers and between us. My lawyer said to me, "Don't go to court in North Carolina. You'll never see your children again." So I had to do a lot of pretty resourceful negotiating and opposing to just win the right to see them periodically. And in fact, one of the poems in the book, The Laughing Place, is about looking back on that time when I was fighting so hard. At one point, I hired a detective to track my husband so I would have some kind of evidence to bargain with in against his accusations that I was a lesbian.
So what kind of settlement did you reach out of court?
For a long time, I said to myself, oh, well, I got a father's visiting agreement. And then when I was writing this book, I went back and actually looked at my divorce decree and compared it to the decree of a man who had gotten visitation rights for his children. And, of course, what I got was much, much worse. For a long time, I was only, according to this decree, I was only supposed to see my children in the presence of my mother or one of my maternal aunts. I wasn't able to have them be in my home if I was living with any other person. There were things like that. I did manage to see them two or three times a year, throughout their growing up and talk to them on the phone. But it was really a struggle. I did a lot of long distance driving, 14 hours straight, to try to see them for a weekend or a long weekend. And another one of the poems in the book, Seven Times Going, Seven Times Coming Back, talks about driving over the Smoky Mountains and crossing a river over and over again, trying to get to them.
Let me ask you to read one of your poems from your book, Crime Against Nature. And this is a poem called The Child Taken from the Mother. You can introduce it in any way you'd like.
A lot of the poems in this book were written because I would talk about my life with people and they would ask me questions, and I ended up writing poems as a kind of response to the questions. So The Child Taken from the Mother is one of those poems. I'm going to read parts of this poem. I could do nothing, nothing. Do you understand? Women ask, why didn't you? Like they do of women who've been raped, and I ask myself, why didn't I? Why didn't I run away with them or face him in court? Or 10 years ago I answered myself, no way for children to live, or the chance of absolute loss, or I did the best I could. It was not enough. It was about terror and power. I did everything I could. Not enough. A woman's voice, those women who've never held a little baby in their arms. In the old window, a shadow, two hands, brick and mortar, seal the house, my children somewhere inside. The youngest has lost his baby fat, navel flattened, last of my stomach's nourishing. You say, do something. You say, why is this happening? My body, my womb, my body of a woman, a mother, a lesbian, and here, perhaps you say, that last word doesn't belong. Woman, mother, those can stay. Lesbian, no, put that outside the place of the poem. Too slangy, prosy, obvious, just doesn't belong. Why don't you? Why didn't you? Can't you say it some other way?
How old were your sons when you lost custody of them?
They were 7 and 6, and they're now 23 and 21. They're quite grown.
Are there any regulations surrounding how you see them now?
No. As they came into their adolescence, the restrictions around seeing them loosened significantly, and we were able to spend a bit more time together. They and I, we have a quite wonderful relationship, and that's been nourished through lots of long-distance phone calls and other kinds of conversation, and they come and stay with me now.
In one of your poems, you wrote, if I had been more ashamed, if I had hid my lust, I might not have lost them. And in another poem, you write, I paid for my freedom with my children. You must have gone through terrible feelings of guilt, not necessarily for being gay, but for coming out. I mean, for expressing it, for acting on it.
I had not started out being ashamed of falling in love with another woman and needing to start a different kind of life for myself. But by the time I had come through the separation and divorce and custody struggle, I did have a lot of shame and a lot of guilt. The process was designed to make me feel guilty and ashamed, because the people I was struggling with, the court system, my husband, my family, all thought I was really doing something quite disgusting. And even though I knew that what I was doing was right for me and ultimately would be good for the children because they would have a mother who they saw living her life with integrity, I did have this terrible grief that we were having to go through so much pain to get to this new place.
Didn't you write that your mother was prepared to be a character witness against you if this was in court?
Actually, what I've said about my mother's role in this is that my husband threatened to call her as a character witness on his behalf, and she certainly disapproved strongly of what I was doing. He also threatened to, told me he had secretly Xeroxed chapters of my journal and was going to submit them in court. So that was certainly something that I when folks talk to me about how afraid they are sometimes to write down their secrets, I talk about that incident as sort of the ultimate threat that a writer can face about having your writing used against you, which, of course, does happen in many different ways. And I just, I did not let that keep me from continuing to write. I just was determined I was going to have my life whole and complete and offer that to my children. And that included my going ahead and writing about my life.
Minnie Bruce Pratt, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks. I was happy to be with you.
Minnie Bruce Pratt just won a Fund for Free Expression Award. Her latest collection of poems is Crime Against Nature. This is Fresh Air.